Good morning, First Service. It's good to be with you. You can turn in your Bibles, if you have one, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and we'll pick up our reading this morning in verse 39. And it's my intention to make our way down to verse 56 with you. So let's read these verses collectively. We'll pray, and I'll show you what the Lord has shown me to share with you that I know of, and we'll see what else that he has for us. I agree with Daniel as you make your way there. Just really good to condition our church songs that are about Jesus to Jesus. That's, you know, a song like that that we just sang, it's super congregational, and it sets our eyes on the Lord. We live in a culture that is obsessed with self, and even church has become, it's all about the parishioner, the person, and we're singing songs about ourselves. That's depressing. I don't want to come to church and think more about me and my situations and things that I'm trying to leave at the feet of Jesus. I just want to think about him. And when we're singing that he is holy, what we're saying, so everybody can be on the same sheet of music, is that he's unlike anyone else that we know. He's altogether different. That's what we mean by he's holy. He's otherworldly. And that's why we're here on a Sunday morning to worship him, because he's not like us. If he were like us, he wouldn't be worthy of our worship. So, you know, whenever the chance is given to me by the Spirit and I'm prompted, I like to just say, because we have so many visitors and new people, this church is all about Jesus, not about man. We don't want any of the attention, recognition. I actually feel funny coming up after worship because I got to be the person who speaks. And it's like, man, I just want to stay lost in his presence. But we look to his word to keep us there. But nonetheless, it's about the Lord. It's not about a leader. It's not about leadership. It's not even about how good music is or how good the orator is. It's just all about Jesus every time that we gather. So I just want to reinforce that here. It's a lost art in churches, sadly, that Jesus, the one who purchased the church, isn't even exalted. Here, it's a practice art. It's what we want to master, the exaltation of the King. So without any further ado, thank you for letting me get that off my chest. I just see so many things that are grieving around me that are going on in buildings, you know, supposed to be church buildings. It's just sad. Let's give our attention to the word. Please follow your eyes as I read out loud here, verse 36 of Luke 1. If you are taking notes, I'm calling my message this morning Mary's Magnificat because of Elizabeth's filling. It says this, and Mary arose in those days, and she went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and she entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, verse 41, that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake, it says, I think this is important, with a loud voice, and she said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of the womb. And whence is this to me, verse 43, that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, notice here, the babe, not the embryo, but the babe, the Bible says, leaped in my womb for joy. So that's God's testimony that an unborn child can both hear and experience joy in the womb. Pretty powerful. And blessed is she, verse 45, that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God. Notice my Savior. Mary needed a Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he, verse 49, that is mighty, has done to me great things, and holy is his name. Wonderfully fitting with that last song of praise. Notice what she goes on to say here. Not only is he mighty, but he's merciful. He's merciful, verse 50, on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in imaginations of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats. He's in charge of the government, and he has exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He is holding his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as, verse 55, he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. And Mary abode, at the close of her song here it says, verse 56, Mary abode about 3 months and then returned to her own home. So God, we thank you for your word. Certainly you've given us a lot here this morning. And I ask you that you just speak to us the things that you want us to grab a hold of, that you'd encourage us in you, God, that we would see you through this text, that we'd come to love you and appreciate you more, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, those things that you want us to receive, so that we can be strengthened, God, in our pursuit of you, our walk with you, for another day, week, should you tarry. So we give you this time, God, we invite you just to breathe on your word and to speak to us fresh life this morning. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, all God's people said, amen. So we left Mary last week. And, you know, I don't like how we have to keep kind of leaving in a fragmented manner here the text. I would love to take you right down to verse 80, but time doesn't allow. So we'll have to handle this portion this week and then the finishing portion next week. We'll see John the Baptist come into the world. Elizabeth will give birth. And then chapter 2, of course, the birth of Jesus. But I think it's important here that we only take bite-sized bits so that we can grab a hold of the richness that's in front of us. We left Mary last week with Gabriel. Remember, he came to her and he gave her this announcement that you are going to conceive. The power of God is going to come upon you. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And your womb is going to become the Holy of Holies. I mean, your womb is going to become the holy, the abiding place of the presence of God, man. This mystery that this deity, the Son of God, is going to add to himself humanity, and he's going to be in your womb, and the very one that is in your womb that you're going to give birth to is the one who's going to make atonement for your sins one day and the sins of all of the world. So, what a thing to have said to somebody. I mean, it's one thing, you know, you're trying to feel this out here and consider these things. It's one thing to have an angel show up to you. And again, I said this to you last week, I'll say it again. It seems like all the times that these angels show up, the message is, fear not. So it must be a little bit frightful when all of a sudden there's an angel, right? It shows up, the person's face, a reaction, must cause the angel to say, hey, you don't have to be afraid here. I've got good tidings that I come with. You are favored above all women, in the sense of, man, you are the one who is chosen to have this ministry of bringing the Son of God, the Savior, into the world. And so, you know, it seems as though she's excited. She takes it in. She's perplexed, of course, because she says, how is this going to happen? I've never been with a man before. I'm a spouse to Joseph, but we're not yet married. We haven't consummated the marriage yet. I've never known a man. I've maintained my purity. So, you know, how's this going to happen? She's not doubting the promise. She's just struggling to understand the performance, like so many of us in this room right now. God has spoken to our hearts, I hope, I believe, in some way, shape, form throughout life. And I think there's probably a lot of us where it's like a cliffhanger right now. We're like, wait, God, you spoke, but now when are you going to perform? I got the promise, and I know that everything that you say is yes and amen, but when are you going to make good on the promise? When are you going to perform? When is my kid going to come back to the Lord? When is my spouse going to get saved? When is healing going to happen, right? We find ourselves in these places. And listen, Mary is a human. I don't disrespect her. I don't demean the ministry God has given to her. I mean, she's phenomenal here in the sense of out of all the ladies in the world, this is the one that had been picked to have this ministry. But she's just a human. And so for me, I see a correlation here with 39 down to verse 45 and then the Magnificat. I believe that the Holy Spirit filling John, I think it happened simultaneously and filled Elizabeth, and I believe that filling of them, the mother and the baby in her womb, which seems to be Mary's older cousin, I believe that filling is partly what fed Mary's faith for her to burst out in the Magnificat. I don't know. I didn't get that from a commentary. I didn't get that from a scholar or teaching. I've never heard anybody say it. I just have been camping on these verses, and God has had me in such deep, dark places this past year that I just feel like I've discovered him and his voice in a new and a different way. And I was sitting on this wondering, should I share this with the room? Because the Magnificat is enough for me to uncover for you. But then the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me stop seeing the correlation between the filling of the Holy Spirit with Elizabeth and the feeding from that filling that Mary must have had when she went in her difficulty for her to burst out in praise. Doesn't Ephesians 5 say, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be being filled with the Spirit of God, and speak forth psalms and hymns and make melody in your heart to the Lord? There's a correlation. And I see it here with these two ladies, which is wild, because the one that is in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, is going to be the forerunner of the one that's in Mary's womb, Jesus. And yet their mothers got things going for the both of them. So I just think that this is spectacular. So I'm sitting on this. I'm praying, Lord, I don't know, you know, is this partly where you want me to go with my message? And then I get a text from my brother, Pastor Ken Lang, out in Syracuse. And I've told you guys, there's people who have prophetic ministries in my life. You know, there's people I get texts from, specifically on Sunday mornings, and man, they'll speak something from heaven. And listen, you got to understand, just like you can't see that wind. You know, you know, the wind has been whipping the last few days. You can't see it, but you sure as heck can feel it. Especially when it's zero as a high and then the wind kicks. And you know, you live in a cold region when it warms up to the teens and 20s, and you think, well, geez, let's open the windows a little bit. We got a heat wave going. I didn't even wear a coat to church this morning. Honest. You know, so you know that your blood is super thick when you live in this region, but you don't see the wind, but you feel the wind. Jesus said, that's how the Spirit is. You don't see the Holy Spirit, but if you're in tune with him, then you feel him and you know his operation. You know he works. And it's powerful. So I get this text this morning from Pastor Ken out in Liverpool. And he writes to me a message, and then he writes 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. And I'd like you to think that I have the whole Bible memorized, but I don't. So I had to go look it up. And it says, And Saul's son arose, and he went to David unto the woods, and he strengthened David's hand in God. And I just taught that to you guys months ago. You know, that God will do that. He'll take somebody who's filled with faith, and he'll send them to you in a season where maybe you're not. And God will use that person to be an instrument to fuel you and to strengthen you for your journey so that you can carry on. So I believe that the Holy Spirit wants me to, at least at the start of the message here, bring that up. I want to say to you very boldly that you as a believer, if that's what you say that you are, you have an obligation, I believe. I know I struggle saying it a little bit, but I think obligation is a fitting word. You have a duty as a Christian to not be caught up with the things of this world, this life, and not to be intoxicated with them, whatever they are. And stop asking the question, how far can I go into this, drinking, whatever it would be, without crossing the line? And be more concerned with being filled with the Spirit, being filled with God. Because here's why. If you're filled with God, God comes out. If you're filled with yourself, yourself comes out. If you're filled with nonsense, nonsense comes out. And you're a waste. You're a waste of potential to the body of Christ that you're to be a gift to. So if you're filled with God and you're filled with God's Spirit, you're going to have ample opportunities for God to leak out through you, to bless people in such a way that you can't even fathom. It could be life or death for them to be able to carry on in their journey, and that should matter to you. And you'll know if you're filled with God's Spirit right now with this part of the message, based on how your spirit's reacting. If you don't give a hoot, that means you're not filled with the Spirit. Because how you know you're filled with the Spirit is that you have an otherworldly love for people that you would never have if it weren't for Jesus. I sat in these chairs for 17 years, I mean, and honestly, because I was in the children's ministry before I came in here, so for those first handful of teen years, I was not filled with the Spirit, and I didn't care about any of you. I cared about the clock ticking so that the service could end, and I could go home and eat my mom's sauce. I wasn't here to bless anybody. I wasn't here wondering, I wonder what they got going on. I was thinking about what I had that day and what I had that week, and it was all about me. That's how I sat in these chairs. Until what happened? Until Jesus grabbed a hold of me in my later teen years, and then the Spirit of God came upon me. So even though I was saved in those early years of my life, man, and I had the Holy Spirit within me, because he never leaves you, even during those stupid teen years where you're all about yourself. Even though he never left me during that, I never really let him have me in a grip of my life. And then the game changer was when the Spirit came upon me. And he gave me this love for people that I'd never normally even care about. And that has always been, for me, the thermometer of how filled with the Spirit am I. Not how good is my preaching, not how many gifts do I have, but how do I feel about my brothers and sisters? Like, how does my heart feel? You know, do I actually love the people that I'm preaching to? I'm listening to a lot of good orators out there under the title of pastor, but I don't hear any love flowing from their mouths. There's still a lot of truth going forward, but I don't necessarily hear a ton of grace mixed in the truth, or it's all grace and not truth, which isn't love either. So it's like, man, there's got to be a love, and then if there's a love, I know I'm in a place where the Spirit is upon me, he's filling me, and then he prompts me to do things. He'll prompt you to do things that will be life-changing in other people's lives. See, Elizabeth, let's back up to her for a moment. She allows herself, she's well stricken in years to receive the promise of God. So she's ready now for when Mary shows up to her house in this scene. You won't be ready for what God has for you next if you're not daily filled with the Spirit. How do you get filled with the Spirit? Get before him. Open his word, say, God, first thing I do, God, forgive me. That's an everyday prayer, and honestly, I don't pull any. I won't pretend I'm anything I'm not. It's an all-day prayer. There's a lot of things that grind my gears. There's a lot of things that ruffle my feathers. If it's a lane that I'm in, there's a lot of things that can pull me out of my lane. A lot of opportunities. A lot of opportunities. I'm just thinking about this past week. I won't tell you the story because I took too much time with stories last week. That's why I don't tell a lot of stories. I'm not quick-winded. But I will just tell you this. I had to say in response, and do I ever do anything illegal? Because the person was saying, if you did that, that would have been illegal. So we'll just leave it there and let you be curious. And that what could have been my sin and it isn't is your sin because you're assuming things about me right now. So anyways, here it is, Mary arises, and listen, here's how 39 begins, polysyndeton. I've told you about this. Luke is writing in a grammatic structure you see here that he repeats here the coordinating conjunctions. He keeps saying and. What you're supposed to understand is that he's separating every idea with every and he's putting an emphasis on every single one of them, so we understand that each of these statements that he's making are significant. He's going like this, and Mary arose in those days. What days? The day that Gabriel spoke to her and said, you're pregnant with the Son of God. And God did it, not no man. And she went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. It's like over 100-mile trek she made. Probably Hebron, that's a priestly city where they would have lived. That's where she goes. And, verse 40, she enters the house of Zacharias and she salutes Elizabeth. And verse 41, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, her babe starts doing somersaults in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I think it's, personally for me, I think it's when John got filled too. They got it together. The Holy Spirit came upon mama and the baby. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And she speaks with this loud voice, because when you're doubting and when you're struggling, when you're battling faith and fear, because they can't coexist, You feed your faith will override fear. But you feed your fears, man, all of a sudden that faith that God gives to you gets real squished down and diminished. So they can't coexist, faith and fear. They outlaw one another. Whatever one you feed is the one that's going to devour the other. So I personally think that this is part of why God sent her to Elizabeth's house. I think she's wanting in her spirit to believe. I think she was real encouraged, like you get at church, right? Like she's in the presence of an angel, but then the angel goes away and you got to put feet to your faith. That's hard. So that's what the body of Christ is for. So now all of a sudden she goes to a relative's house and a relative speaks with a loud voice. I appreciate that. Sometimes I need God, sometimes you need God to speak with a loud voice. So loud that I can't think about the fears. So loud that I can't focus on the anxieties. So loud that that's all that I can take in the moment, right? It's louder than everything else. It's louder than everything else, man. She speaks with a loud voice. And you know what she does here in verse 42 to the end of this little section, verse 45? She reiterates, because she's filled with the Spirit, the very word that Gabriel just gave to Mary. A person, y'all, look at it for yourself. Don't just believe me. A person can't do that without it being supernatural. You can't give somebody a word that God gave them 100 miles away without it being supernatural. This is the benefit of you being saved. Okay, you're saved to go to heaven. I get it. Like, that's the main reason why you received Jesus. You didn't want to go to hell. That's a good reason. But there's an abundant life that's available to you. Because here's the thing. What did Mike Tyson say? Everybody has a plan till they get punched in the face. That's like the most profound thing of the day. Because it's so true. Who gets punched in the face? Everybody. Believers and unbelievers. So what makes our walk with Jesus more appealing than being unsaved and just tipping back a bottle of wine or popping pills to numb myself through those rough patches? The abundant life, the Holy Spirit that is available, and how he operates through his body to his body in these types of seasons. We owe it to each other to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that these types of 100 miles away, she starts speaking to her, the very word that heaven spoke to her. I mean, you can go back and review verse 28, verse 31. I mean, it's almost verbatim. Spirit's like the wind. You can't see him. But he's moving and he's working. And he does it through his bride to his bride. And I think, like Paul said of Jesus, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And when I'm prophetic in somebody's life, if I'm prophetic in my message today as I continue, and somebody gives me that back, and they're like, hey, man, that was prophetic. That was a word in season. Remember, prophetic isn't bad. Some people get so spooked. They come from denominations where they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, prophetic simply means sometimes, and often in our dispensation, it's not something that's foretelling. It's foretelling. It's the word of God, and it's alive and powerful for you. So it's good. Have a systematic theology. You should have, like, these are the things that I believe, and this is why I believe what I believe. But if it isn't all about Jesus and you getting with the risen Lord, the risen Savior, with his alive word and him speaking to you, sitting with you and speaking to you, then you are missing half of it. You are missing half of it, and I'm doing a bad job at shepherding. So she says to her what she already heard. Sometimes we need to hear what we already heard. Blessed are you among women. Does that sound familiar? You're not blessed above woman, you're blessed among women. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. You conceived. That's what the message is. I wonder if Mary didn't even know she conceived yet. Because how would she know? Ladies, you don't feel the flutters in those first few weeks, right? It takes a little time. You guys shouldn't be nodding your head. Yeah, that's true. What do you know? You don't feel nothing the whole time. We're pregnant. No, we're not pregnant. She's pregnant, stupid. Stop saying we are, you know. Guys, we're pregnant. No, it's not we. You didn't, you know. You're not doing anything here. You did your part, and you're the problem for this whole mess. So here we are. She's pregnant. All props to her. She's carrying the Messiah, and this announcement of Elizabeth here, spectacular. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For lo, verse 44, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And look what she says. This is so solid. This is life. This is gold. She says, and blessed is she that believed. Mary, you believed. Just because you're struggling, just because you haven't talked to Joseph yet, just because there's a lot of question marks in front of you, that doesn't diminish that you didn't believe. You believed. Have you ever had anybody say this to you? Hey, you believe. You know you believe. Have you ever been so downcast, uncertain, in such a bleak season, waters you've never been in before, where you maybe said to a confidant, hey, I don't even know if I believe anymore. Have you ever done that? And then to have somebody who loves you and loves Jesus and filled with the Spirit say to you, no, you believe. I'm not going to feed that. I know you believe. You're speaking nonsense right now because you're hurt. That's what you're saying isn't what's true in your heart. You believe. I believe for you in this moment that you believe. Have you ever had anybody do this before? I mean, you just keep living long enough, you're going to have somebody do this for you. You're going to lose somebody. Something's going to happen along the way. Life is so hard. Life is so painful. It is so solid to put yourself in relationships with people who love Jesus and fill with his Spirit that will speak life to you, that won't condemn you, that won't judge you, that won't try to counsel you. I hate that. It won't try to counsel you. They'll just say things like this. No, you believe. Mary, you believe the promises of God. It's not predicated, because then, you know, there's this pressure out there. Well, it's because you're not believing. That's why God's not performing. Well, Mary, even if that were to be true right now, I'm believing for you. It only takes faith the size of a mustard seed. It's not the quantity of your faith. It's just the quality. Is it there or isn't it? And is it living or isn't it? Even if it's just a smidgen, just the size of a mustard seed. And that, think of like a grass seed, even if it's just that, that's enough and God can do something with that. I know you believe, Mary. You got to put yourselves, church, with other people who will talk to you this way when you're struggling and won't condemn you and judge you and say things like this to you. I thought you believed. I thought you're supposed to be this like holy young teenage girl. Didn't you just sit with an angel and you're already struggling? Forget that, man. Those are Job's friends types of people. Don't hang with them. Don't hang with people who have no empathy or sympathy. Don't hang with people who have no compassion. Hang with people who will sit with you in your struggle and go like this. I know you believe. Blessed is she that believed. Because I'll tell you something, Mary. I'm filled with faith. And the reason I'm filled with faith, I'm filled with the Spirit. So here's how it's going to go. There is going to be a performance of those things that were told to you from the Lord. How's she know? Because she's filled with the same Spirit. How does the guy in Syracuse, 100 miles away, interestingly enough, how does he know? Because he's filled with the same Spirit. How does it happen? How do we hear from people across the world, 7 hours ahead of us, 7 hours behind? How does it happen? Same Spirit. It's supernatural. The author of the book is still around. He's all over the place. He's still moving and he's still working. And he's bringing life to his words in the seasons that they need to go forth to his body all around the globe. And he's ministering. So my exhortation to you before we unwrap quickly here the Magnificat is this. Be filled with the Spirit. Stop trying to ride the line and say, how much can I get away with and still be saved? How much can I get away with and do in these loose liberal years that we're living in and the culture and the church culture and still go to heaven? That's not the question. The question is, man, I want as much of the Spirit of God as possible, and I just want to be real. I don't want to speak Christianese. I don't want to throw out all these praise the Lord, hallelujah, God bless yous. I just want to have a real, raw word for people in season for them. I want to be there for somebody to encourage them. I want to speak life over them. I want to believe for them. I want to remind them that they believe. I want to be this type of a person. Just stay in the Word, filled with the Spirit, and God will use you in ways that you won't even believe. And then when you're starting to struggle with sin, should you keep watching porn? Should you enter into the affair? Should you quit coming on Sundays? When you start feeling like entertaining some of these things, because it's long obedience in the same direction, the monotony of Christianity, it exists. Hey, why do you think there's so much charge in the Scriptures? Don't grow weary in well-doing. Lift up those hands that hang down, those feeble knees. Why? Because it happens. So now all of a sudden, when it happens, you feel you feel like, man, I got an obligation to the body of Christ that I'm a part of. I can't let all these people down. We are all links in the chain, depending on one another. And maybe that will be enough in that moment of temptation to say, God, I'm not giving in. Brother or sister so-and-so needs me, because anything else won't matter to you in that moment. You'll get there too someday if you're not, you've never been there. You'll get so spiritually lethargic and exhausted where there will be no other motivation, sadly. I'm telling you. For you not to engage in whatever's forbidden. So thank God that there is this sanctified pressure, for lack of better words, that other people are relying on me. So for another day, I'm saying no to the devil and no to temptation. I'm resisting it. He will flee and God will give me the strength. You'll get there. Everybody will get there at some point. So now Mary sings. Because otherwise it's random. Otherwise it's like, where did this come from? I believe there's a correlation with the filling of Elizabeth and Mary's Magnificat. Now she starts to burst forth, man. And as I've already told you guys, in these 10 verses of praise, you know, she's got just an abundance of scripture that comes out of her. 23 separate Old Testament quotes, because she's filled with God too. People are filled with God doubt. People are filled with God struggle. But here's what oozes out of her because of years of what she put into her. It can't ooze out if it doesn't come in. Mary goes like this, my soul does magnify the Lord. Mary worshiped God. Mary's not to be worshiped. And then she says, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. See that there in verse 47? No immaculate conception. Mary wasn't sinless. She says of her son, he's my Savior. I'm going to be one day standing at the foot of his cross as he makes atonement for my sins. It's a mystery. Right now, my tummy is the Holy of Holies. But there is a day coming to the one that I'm going to give birth to. He is fully God, fully man, and he is going to make atonement for my sins and the sins of the world. He's my Savior. My soul, my spirit, my body. All different words. My soul, my spirit, my body. She's triune. There's a trinity here. This is how we were fashioned, in his image. She says, my body is the Lord's, my soul is the Lord's, and my spirit is the Lord's. And that's how we're to love him too. With all of our soul, with all of our spirit, with all of our body, our mind, our soul, our strength, all of us, we are to love him with completely. Mary's a wonderful example. She says this, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations are going to call me blessed. For he that is mighty, he has done to me great things, and holy is his name. Now, here's what makes the Lord amazing. He's mighty. Right? That's fascinating today for whatever we've got going on, whatever breakthrough we need. He's mighty, but wonderfully, he's also merciful. He's mighty and he's merciful. And you've always seen it that way going all the way back to Genesis. It was the mighty God who told Adam and Eve, you're banned from the Garden of Eden. And had every right to do so and every ability to keep them from coming back in. That's the mighty God, right? But then it's the merciful God in his banishment that clothes them in their nakedness. You see that? That's the mighty, merciful God. He could have said, you know what? You made your bed, you can lie in it. I created you in perfection. I created you sinless, no sickness, no nothing. Man, even your work wasn't laborsome. You just had it made. You had everything that you could ever want. You wanted to eat of what I told you not to eat of? There you go. When he called out to them and there's this hesitancy, no doubt, in their response, he could have just turned them over to themselves and said, I'm done with you. See how this works out. Go ahead and eat the fruit again and live forever in that condition. Instead, there is an atonement made for their sins going back to Genesis. He clothes them in their nakedness and he prophesies over Eve that she's the mother of all living and that her seed would crush the head of the serpent. Here we are. He's mighty and he's merciful. He's mighty God who led Israel out of Egypt and out of the control of and the power of Egypt's hand, the taskmasters of his people upon them. And he delivered them so mightily. So mightily. And then in their wilderness wanderings, one step forward, two steps back. One step forward, two steps back. 11-day journey turning into 40 years. He was merciful. Mighty to deliver them, merciful with them. This has always been every believer's story and anthem, and it is today. He's mighty God, but he's also merciful God. He doesn't give to us what we deserve. That's his mercy. But he's mighty. He bursts forth into our situations, and he brings deliverance unlike anyone else can do. We're thankful. You know, this is the perfect father. He's mighty. If he's around, don't matter who's coming against me. He's mighty. He's right behind me. I feel strong. I feel confident, just like you who have an earthly dad who's this way. But he's merciful. He's friend of sinners. He's the one who touches the leper. He's the one who picks up Malchus's ear after Peter chops it off in the garden. He graciously puts it back. His last miracle before the cross. He's the one who whispers to Judas instead of exploiting his deeds to the table and says, "That what you do, do quickly." He's been mighty and merciful in every person's life that's here today. And Mary, because she's filled with the Spirit, is exalting him properly. Her song is all about Jesus. Her song is to Jesus. That's what she does here. That's what she's expressing. 8 times in this section, he has done this, he has done that. That's all she's doing here. She's singing about her son. He's mighty and he's merciful. And he has showed strength with his arm, verse 51 says. He has shown strength with his arm. So that's what some of us are here for explicitly today. We need strength. We came here, and in our own words, we said, "Lord, invade me from heaven and give me physical, Lord, my physical frame strength. Like, I will not make it another day unless you give to me my physical frame strength to carry on. I won't make it, not one more day." And heaven just honors that plea and that cry, and he does it. He invades our beings, and he gives us strength. This is who he is. He's mighty, he's merciful, he's strong. He puts down the mighty from their seats. You know, you think about those in our political offices who are so audacious and so taunting. I mean, if he wants to, he raises up what he wants to raise up, and he takes down what he wants to take down. It's all according to his will. Everything is subservient to him. He's in control. The earth is his footstool. You know, he's reigning and he's ruling, and she just sees here his omnipotence. He's all powerful. He brings the mighty from their seats and he exalts them of low degree. He fills the hungry, verse 53. This is like the Sermon on the Mount she's singing. He fills the spiritual hungry. That's the idea there. In an age of plenty. He still does that today. We live in an age of plenty. What do you want? What do you want? You know, whatever you want, you can go and get it. You can go online right now as I'm finishing up my message and you can order it. You can go to Amazon. It'll be at your doorstep tomorrow, the next day. What do you want? It's the age of plenty. You can have whatever you want. Everything is big. All the portions at restaurants are big. The options are there. Everything, the drinks, the ventes, they're huge. Everything's big. You can have whatever you want. We live in an age of plenty, and yet Mary says something so dynamic here. She says there's this spiritual vacuum at the core of our culture. She understands it, but he alone fills the hungry. That's why the psalmist would say, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." He fills the hungry with good things. He hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to, it's not just his seed, it's literally the seed, it's singular. The seed, his forever. What a decree she makes. And Mary abode about 3 months and then returned to her own house. And what did she have to do when she got back? Call Joseph. At least that's the way that the narrative seems to read. She must have had another daunting task ahead of her. You know, months later, she comes back. Probably now this little petite thing's popped a little bit. And she's got to give an explanation to Joseph. And what a booster of faith she receives. In the presence of her big cousin, Elizabeth, she feeds off her faith. She sings this love song to the Lord, her Magnificat, how magnificent he is. And she's got to call Joseph and say, Joseph, we've got to talk. And what that will be, so intense for him that he'll, as a just man, seek to put her away privately because he can't believe the news till heaven shows up in his life and encourages him. And we'll pick up next week with more of that. I want to leave you as we close this morning with these three thoughts. To our thoughts, one is, I suppose, an invitation to some degree. I want to say this morning, just real simply, based on just the portion that was in front of us, these things. Number one, Jesus is completely reliable. For whoever that's for, I just want to throw that into the crowd and say, you take that, you write that down, you camp on that. Based on these verses here this morning, that Jesus, he is completely reliable. Whatever he has spoken to you, whatever he is doing in your life, however he is directing you, if you will give him your ear, he will give you his voice. It's marvelous because you don't got to work up to earn his voice. You don't have to behave perfectly. You don't have to have like a streak of a lot of good days or weeks where you can present it to him and say, okay, Lord, you know, I've really worked hard at this here. Have I achieved your favor? Have I earned your favor here? I'm being dead serious. If you and whatever you got going on, if this is for you this morning in this season that you're in, if you'll just go before him humbly and contritely and just say, Lord, I am broken. Please fix me. I am lost. Please lead me. I'm confused. Please clear it up for me. I'm in prison. Please emancipate me. If you'll just speak to him so raw and honestly, Jesus Christ is completely and fully reliable. And I can't explain it more right now. It wouldn't even matter if I did. It's got to become life to you. It's got to become life to you. I put my life on this truth. If you give him the chance to show up, you won't know that you trust him until you've trusted him. Watch how he stoops and speaks to you and leads you in the most ridiculous details that your peers would scoff at. If you said it out loud what you were seeking him for, people next to you that are carnal will size your trial up with theirs and say, are you kidding me? That's what you asked him for? He doesn't do that. He just stoops in the sand, as it were. Like the woman who was being charged with adultery, and he just meets you. And he'll direct you. He's reliable. Second, he's escapable. I just think that needs to be said. I didn't mess up. I'm not trying to say he's unescapable. He's escapable. So as wonderful as he is and as true as he is, he's escapable. He did not create a bunch of, you know, machines. He's given every single person the ability to say no thank you. Like as much as Mary has testified and as much as Elizabeth has testified and as much as I testify or whoever else, he's escapable. You can be here and you can say, I'm not interested. And I don't really care if there's this virgin birth and his tomb is empty. It's not for me. Well, in saying that, I just want to be very honest with you. There will be a day that comes where you will stand before him and you'll have to give answer for why it was that you spurned his love. That day will come whether you want to believe in him or not. That, you know, why did you ignore his sacrifice? Why did you decide to trust in the fact that your intelligence, your intellect, you're self-resourceful, and that you had perfectly enough, like you had all that you needed to get through life. You're going to have to stand before him one day and give an answer to that. And I don't want anybody's blood on my hands. So he is escapable if that's what you choose to do. But instead, for me, I guess I'd close this. I made two statements. I suppose I'll close with a plea here. I would say, like, wouldn't you rather then? And let me back it up and say it this way. Will you then have this Jesus, who both Elizabeth and Mary call my Lord, my Savior, be yours too? There's this invitation that always comes from the pages of Scripture, like, for you to be able to bow your head underneath his yoke and to enter through the narrow gate. He's that narrow gate. And then, like, on the other end of it, his offer to you, right? Like, his invitation is that he will not only cleanse you of your sin and your guilt, but he will break the power of that sin in your life that is over you. That's what he is. That's what he does. And the invitation back on my end is that, you know, you do this because you need him. You need him urgently more than you even realize that you do. You need him, and I say these things so plainly so nobody can misunderstand, because he alone holds the words of eternal life. That's why you need him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There is no other Savior. Very blanket statements I'm making right now. There is no other Savior. He alone is qualified to save. So I'll say it this way, and then I'll be done. You need him to help you live, and you need him to help you die. You need him completely. And it's only a matter of you exercising your will and saying, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. Mimicking the words of these two ladies at the forefront this morning. I want you to be my Savior and I want you to be my Lord. Please be those things. At the moment you do it, you are his and he is yours for eternity, and he's committed to you. So as the worship team comes, I just want to ask if there's anybody in this room that wants to do that right now. You can do it on your own. You can do it when you leave. You don't need me. I'm not a priest. I'm not a mediator. I don't connect you to God. Nobody does. Jesus does those things. You can go right to the Father through Jesus. If you pray in Jesus' name and you cry out to him, you never need a man. But if you, while it's making sense, want to respond to this opportunity of saying, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord, and I want you to be my Savior. Yeah, just raise your hand to him and keep it up for a minute so that I can see you. Just raise your hand. And just, you're raising it to him. Just keep it raised, because I'm going to lead you in a prayer. This is what the Bible tells us to do. Denominations and churches add to it. They make it complex. They make people jump through hoops. You don't got to do any of that. If you believe in your heart what I'm saying and you confess with your mouth, that is salvation. So just raise your hand. God bless you guys who are raising your hands. God bless you all. I see a lot of hands being raised, and he sees them more importantly. And I'm going to just invite you right now to repeat out loud after me, okay? The rest of the church is celebrating and thankful, and at the close of this prayer, we'll applaud, because it is the greatest miracle when somebody is translated out of darkness into his marvelous light. So if your hand is raised, you repeat out loud after me, Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. I invite you to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. So heaven rejoices. The host of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. We had many sinners repent, and heaven is rejoicing over you. How you feed your faith is through his word. And my messages on Sundays and Wednesdays will not be enough. So if you don't have a Bible, let one of the guys up front here give you one. Or in the foyer, there's leadership. We would love to bless you with a Bible. You just start reading the word. If you already are reading the word, keep reading the word. Keep asking the Spirit to minister to you. If you don't know where to go, go to the Gospel of John. If you've ever read the Gospel of John and you've been at it for a while, go read the book of Romans. If you're curious about everything and you just want answers, go to the book of Genesis. Pray every day before you read open your Bible, read, let Jesus speak to you, bookmark where you leave off. If you have questions, ask Pastor Larry. Keep coming to church. Keep surrounding yourself with believers. God will feed your faith. It isn't going to be easy. It's not going to be a rose garden. But God will meet you. God will strengthen you. And the church here is to support you and to encourage you. So welcome to the family of God. Let's all stand. Let's sing. Let's give these folks a round of applause.